as I'm breathing, I got a reason to praise. I want to read to you out of John chapter 8, even in light of what I shared earlier. It says in John chapter 8, verse 31, "If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And he goes on later, a few verses later, "So if the Son sets you free," meaning Jesus, "then you will be free indeed." And I wonder, even as I prayed this morning about whatever you're battling, are you telling yourself the truth about it? What is the truth? When you seek Jesus and you find the truth, you can begin to believe something that in your natural ability, you're like, I could never overcome. But then Jesus comes and he says, "Who the Son sets free is free absolutely, totally, I'm telling you, indeed." So just embrace that this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for what you did for us, that we didn't deserve it. You showed your love for us, that while we were yet sinners, you died for us so that we could have freedom, so that we could walk in freedom, so that we could leave the old behind and embrace the transformation that comes with your life and your power. And so, Jesus, I pray for every one of my friends here that your Spirit would be upon them, working in them, ministering life to them, encouraging them, and drawing them closer to you, telling the truth about who they are, and the truth about who you are, that they are sons and daughters of God, set free indeed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you give it up for the worship team this morning? And you can have a seat. Good morning, church. I hope you're having a great Sunday morning so far. Hopefully you're waking up and having some coffee, and I appreciate you joining us this morning. If you are a guest, if I haven't met you yet, my name is J.R. Quigley. I'm the senior leader here at Mount Helena, and I'm really glad that you chose to come and worship with us today, come and hear a message from Bob Wamsley here in a few moments. It's going to be good. We're wrapping up a series on hearing God, and then we have some prophetic meetings coming up this Friday and Saturday, which we've been teaching about in recent weeks. And so if that word prophetic scares you a little bit, maybe you need to go back and listen to some messages and learn a little bit about how we approach that. Really looking forward to that. I want to give you some information about those meetings. Friday night, Saturday night, and I hope, how many of you got my email this week? Okay, if you're not getting emails from me, you might want to let me know. We do. If you've ever given here or ever been a part of a group, you should be in our database. We should have your email. But if you're not getting some of the church's emails from time to time, I promise you I don't send you stuff every day. I have other things to do. But when something's important, I will send an email to let people know. And so if you didn't, you might want to let us know here at the office whether or not you're getting those, and we can make sure we get that set up for you. But I mentioned in that email, and I want to mention again that Friday and Saturday at 6 o'clock, I hope everybody that calls Mount Helena home is there. It's a great time of encouragement, a great time to be encouraged. It's going to be a real celebration kind of a time, and so we're really looking forward to that. So on Friday, we are going to have some pizza here and a few other things at about 5:15 on Friday, and that is so that you people that are getting done with work on Friday and you're like, great, I got to be somewhere by 6. How do I feed my kids? How do I feed myself? Actually, is that the truth? You know, if the cabin loses oxygen, you feed yourself first before you feed the person next to you, right? You got to get some nourishment. I don't need you passing out that evening. So we're going to have some pizza and stuff ready for you. You guys like my humor today? Like, I'm on a roll, right? Oh, no, that's terrible. JR, be quiet and just get on with it. Okay. So there will be food here about 5:15. So you can come straight from work, grab your kids, grab your spouse, whatever you got to do, and get here. I want to make it easy as I can for you guys to participate. It's going to be a lot of fun. Saturday will be at 6 o'clock too, but you'll have more time to get dinner. So I'm not buying pizza on Saturday, but do want you to come Friday and Saturday, 6 o'clock. Really looking forward to it. Sunday, Clem Ferris, who is one of our overseers and has been a part of our church since about 94, I believe. Is going to be sharing the message with us. And I always love it when Clem's here and what he inputs into us as a church. He's a significant voice, and looking forward to that. So you do not want to miss that. The other thing I want to remind you of is that the week after Easter, we are having a baptism service. So if you have been considered getting, yes, come on, let's clap for that. That's going to be fun. Baptisms are fun around here. Baptisms are a party. Why? We're celebrating that people are declaring their commitment to Christ by being baptized, by identifying with his death and his resurrection and the cleansing that comes from the blood of Jesus. So if you've been considering getting baptized or you know somebody that wants to, that's going to be part of our Sunday service here on April 27th. You want to get signed up for that at the Welcome Center, or you can sign up online at mounthelena.org. If you have any questions about that, our community life pastor, Mr. Jason Harris, this fine-looking man in the front, he would love to visit with you about baptism. If you want to learn about what does that mean, should I do it? Is it I was baptized as a baby, should I do it again? You're going to want to ask Jason those kind of questions, and we hope to have a great celebration on April 27th, which I did mention is the week after Easter. Do I have that right? Okay, I just always second-guess myself once I get up here. Easter. You guys, Easter is the holiday that has the most church attendance. What that means is many people are thinking about Jesus on Easter who don't normally come to church, who don't normally think about Christianity all the time, or they just come to church once or twice a year. Easter is the day. I want to encourage you, invite people to come to church. We want to continue to grow our family. We want to continue to introduce people to Jesus. We want to continue to lead people through that transformational process as they find Jesus and they leave the old behind and they take on the new. We want to keep working that in people's lives. So if you know somebody that's maybe been thinking about coming to church, maybe they don't know anything about church, hey, a lot of people, there's been a lot of studies and stuff done. A lot of people just say, nobody's invited me. I'd go to church, nobody invites me. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to expect. And sometimes they have weird ideas about what church is going to be like. Invite people to church. It's a great opportunity to do that on Easter. Going to be a lot of fun. So, you got all that? It's on your calendar. You're ready to go? All right, very good. We're going to hear on the last chapter in our Hearing God book, we're going to receive a message this morning from Mr. Bob Wamsley. So would you welcome Bob into the pulpit this morning? Bob is a good friend, and he's the leader of our men's ministry, and he brings it. So bring it, Bob.
And I know you say to yourselves, oh, not another recap, but we can't recap this enough and remind people that we hear from God through his word, right? Our primary source, reading the word of God. And we hear God through the patterns and principles of scripture. We hear God through his Holy Spirit, which is always in agreement with God's word. We hear him through trusted voices. Thank you, God, for those. And again, in agreement with his Holy Spirit and his word. And we hear God through our conscience and inner witness. Today, as J.R. said, we will close the study that we're having. We'll be on the final chapter, hearing God through events in our lives. All of these methods are ways that God can speak to any one of us. And it's God's choice as to how he speaks and when he speaks. With that being said, I want you real quick, the intros are done. Would you pray with me real quick? Almighty God, I love you. I give you praise and glory, Father God. I just thank you to be your servant, Lord. I pray, Father God, that your spirit would open the hearts of every person in this room and that no word would come from me today, Lord, that no matter what is said, God, you will use for your purpose in speaking to the hearts of so many here in this room. Give you praise and glory and thank you in Jesus Christ's mighty name. So what is an event? when you think of an event. It's literally any occurrence. It can be a sporting event. It can be an adverse medical issue. It can be a social occasion. Everything's an event. Scripture and history have showed us that God has always interacted with us through certain events and circumstances in our lives. Throughout the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament, and clear, that pattern is clear and present today. Many people, though, I think, when you talk with folks, many people today don't believe that that happens, or they're not aware of it. They don't understand how it happens. Hearing God through events in our lives is often the most difficult way to hear God. And it'll sometimes, when we do go through an event, we don't realize that God was speaking to us, right? Until we look back and we have kind of a bird's eye view of the event. Like you think of Joseph at the end of Genesis when he, you know, his brothers had sold him into slavery. And he goes away, and what was meant to be a brutal and harsh treatment to get him out of the way, he goes away to Egypt, and when he finally is reunited with his brothers, what do those last few verses of Genesis say? He looked back over the situation, and he was like, I see that was God. That was God the whole time. So if that ever happens to you, and you're looking back, and you're like, wow, he was speaking to me. I didn't realize it. If that doesn't matter, rejoice. God is always speaking. Rejoice in that. It can be difficult. It can be to hear this out. It can be difficult to hear God speak. Why is that? Is it God's fault? Absolutely not. It's our fault. One of the first ways is other voices drown him out. Social media. Social media, like Facebook, presents you with an occasional scripture, doesn't it? And you're, I'm on there for the Billy Graham stuff and the occasional scripture, and I'm on there for the recipes, and I'm on there for the bull elk hunting. I'm on there to see my friends. I wish that was the case, because I loved Facebook when it came out. It was all about friends, and now it's all about advertisements, and you see things that are unbecoming all the time. And when we're so focused on social media, we're not hearing from God. The news. We all have our favorite news channel, whether it's CNN or Fox. They're our God because they speak only truth, right? Wrong. That is wrong, but yet we'll lose friends over what those people say. Same with politics. We can hear one politician say something and we'll take it to the bank. And then we hate everybody on the right or we hate everybody on the left. And we're not hearing God when we're hating. Unequally yoked is another thing, that voice that we hear. I'm not just talking about men and women. I'm talking about your friends, your peers, your family, and I would never say don't be around them. They need to hear the gospel, right? But I would say that you're called to be a leader among them and not let those conversations and those jokes, not let them lead you to their home. You lead them to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number two, we don't recognize it. Job 33:14 says, for God does speak, now one way, now another, though no one perceives it. This is true today even, right? God is always speaking, even through nature, but we don't listen, we don't hear him. And it creates a challenge for us to get to know him better. And I would encourage you, seek a God of communication when you pray. Seek a God of communication, not just a God of personal needs. Seek him in studying the word. Seek him in worship. See God enjoying your worship when you close your eyes. You know, I was that guy for years that I love the Lord. I do. And I know all of you do. And I was that guy for years that just wanted to praise God and raise my hands. And the voices in my head said, everyone's going to think you're showing off. Everybody's going to think that you're faking it. No one loves the Lord like that. And one day, I'm just standing here singing, and I was like, God, I want to praise you. I want to lift you up. And God spoke to me. He says, when others are watching you worship, they're not worshiping. Don't worry about them. Worship me. And I begin to worship God, and I tell you what, and I begin to see God enjoy it. And we got to worship God like that. We got to shut the world out and worship God. When you do hear God, you know it's always going to align with Scripture. It's going to align with His Word, right? The third way, the enemy runs interference. Listen to this. 1 Peter 5:8, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You can't dispute that. That's what he's doing. The enemy does not want you to hear from God. Understand that right now. We protect ourselves by being in the Word and being in prayer and fellowshipping with trusted voices and worshiping God. Totally giving ourselves to him so that the enemy can't intervene, but the enemy does not want you to hear from God. The fourth way is we think that God does not hear us. God doesn't see me. He sees JR. He sees Jason. He sees the worship leaders. He sees Tyler. He doesn't see me. Patterns in Scripture show us that God sees us all and that he's always working behind the scenes. Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. That's not just for the pastors in our church. That's for all of us. Even in our trials, not just our blessings, God is moving. Now, this is a silly saying because I coined it. So usually they're silly, but it's easy for me to explain. When at peace, peace is easy. That's why God often teaches us through chaos. Because when we're at peace, there's no struggles. I don't have to pray. I don't have to go to church. Things are good right now. But we hear God when there's chaos. And that's another time that we rejoice, that we praise him. Number five, our own agenda. I read this daily devotional that my amazing, great pastor recommended to me. He told me to say that. It's called My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. And while I was preparing this message, I read this quote in there. A lily or a tree or a servant of God may convey God's message to me. What hinders me from hearing is that I'm taken up with other things. I'm taken up with other things, whether it's your business, whether it's your relationship with other people, whether it's your college, whether it's your hobbies. And I'm not telling you not to have those things because we can glorify God through those things, but to not put them before God. As it says in Jonah, not clinging to worthless idols that cause us to forfeit the grace that could be ours. I'm sorry I didn't put that up there. That just kind of dropped in. Thank you. It's also hard to hear God when we've already decided in our mind what he's going to say, what we want him to say. And we begin to twist things and we look for other avenues and we go to a trusted voice and they say, nope, that's not a good idea. So we go to other trusted voices, and they go, yeah, that's a good idea. It's difficult because of trained belief. The church we grew up in, the family that has nurtured us and shared with us. And so through that trained belief, some people don't believe that God ever speaks to us anymore. And some people believe he speaks in every step we take. And I'll share a funny story with you. I hope I have time for this. But in my mid-20s, I co-hosted a home fellowship. This was just a few years ago. And there was these twins that came to the home fellowship, and they were about 20, 21 years old. And they were just adorable, friendly, always bubbly and filled with joy. But I didn't know how long that was going to last. And I would ask them every time they showed up on Tuesday night, girls, how was your day? How was your day? And they go, this is a true story, and I am not mocking them. I loved them, but it wore me out. And they go, well, today we got up, and we needed some things from the mall, and we went, God, should we go to the mall today? And we went to the mall, and we didn't find everything that we wanted, and we were disappointed, and we came out of the mall, and we looked across the street, and there was a Target and a strip mall about Target. God, is that where you meant for us to go today? So we walked up to the street, Maryland Parkway, and the cars are zooming by, and we took hands and said, God, should we cross here, or should we go up to the street light? And I'm thinking to myself, that's a busy street. You're either going to get killed or you're going to get a ticket for jaywalking. And I hope God told them. And then they finally go up to the street walk. But on the way to the street walk, they see litter everywhere. And it was like, God, is this why you sent us here to pick up the litter? And I told the girls, you guys are going to wear yourself out. You're wearing me out with these stories. Beautiful people, though, but a great example. And not every opportunity, every open door is God speaking to us. Every time you hear something, it's not God speaking into your life, and I'm not trying to confuse it because God does all things for us, right? But you got to be careful. You have to. There's a check and balance in that. This is again why we align what we feel God is telling us. We align it with Scripture. We align it with other methods of hearing from God. The Scripture have already provided us with clear standards. There are things, you know, should I get up and go to work today? No, God expects you to raise the bar, to set examples in your marriage and everywhere else. There are things in our life that we don't ask God if we should do them. Should I not sin? We ask God how we could do them better. How can I be a better husband? How can I be a better man of God? And then, as I mentioned, it's also difficult because some people never believe they never hear from God. And I want you to humor me this morning. I want you to raise your hand if you ever heard from God in an event in your life. That's amazing. Put your hands down because we're going to do this again. Now I want you to raise your hand if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That is every room in the house. Come on. When you accepted Christ, God spoke to you through an event. That person at work you met that shared the gospel with you, the person in your family that shared the gospel with you, that person that invited you to church and you heard a message of that invitation that God had for you to accept his son, Jesus Christ, God has spoken to you through an event. And when people say that, I don't know if I hear from God. I don't believe he talks. I don't believe he prophesies anymore. I'm going to tell you, you couldn't be more wrong. And I don't mean that offensively. I love you. And I would encourage you to be here next weekend to watch God speak. And I'd have to ask you, is God your creator or not? Is he your God? Is he our God or not? You come here on Sunday, and I'm not pointing at anybody in particular. It could be any other church, but you come here on Sunday. You own a Bible. You come here on Sunday. You pray to God. And then you say, God doesn't speak. You say that God doesn't speak to you. I have written in my notes, and there was a family struggle over this. The girlfriend analogy. And I want to just throw this out there really quick first. I do not have a girlfriend. Well, I do have a girlfriend. I married her. Okay? And I do everything in my power to show her she's still my girlfriend. But I want to tell you, I wrote girlfriend analogy in here. When I first brought it up, she was like, and it could be boyfriend analogy, it could be husband and wife analogy, but when I was in high school and you had a girlfriend, see, it wasn't like today where you got all these cool cell phones, and even before cell phones, you had call waiting and three-way calling, and you had one phone in your house. Now, at my grandma's house, it was a party line. You could pick it up, and the neighbor down the road was yapping to her friend, and they wouldn't stop talking for hours, and so you weren't making a call. But even in your own home, you had one telephone, and you shared it with your siblings and your parents. That don't sound too bad, right? But your girlfriend had one phone, and she shared it with her siblings and her parents. And when you had a week off from school, or one of you was sick, or it was the weekend, your heart broke. because you longed to hear from your love. You wanted some kind of enforcement that they still digged you and that you're still in a relationship. Because, you know, in high school, you break up every week. But you wanted to hear from them. Well, what about God? We're in a relationship with God, and we should be longing to hear him speak into our lives, whether it's through his word, through the Holy Spirit, through events. I want to tell you also that these events aren't ours. These are God's events. We're just in them. I'm going to give you an example of that. You're not the center of your event all the time. And that is how amazing our God is. You think you're a multitasker? Our God loves every single one of us the same, powerfully, every second, every moment, all the time. Can you do that? Can you multitask like that? I can't. And yet, when we sold our ranch, to me, it was an event that led us here to Helena and then led us to Mount Helena Community Church. But that was a huge event for Mitch and Teresa, who bought their retirement home. And it was a huge event for our daughter and our grandkids moving forward that we would be here next to them. It wasn't Margaret and I's event. It was God's event. I wasn't going to speak about any of the examples that are in the Hearing God book we're using in the small groups, because there's so many in the Bible. And I thought, well, I'm not going to use one in here. And I'll make fun of the talking donkey. And I'm just going to find something else to use, a different event in the Bible. And I went to sit down where I read in the morning in the scriptures, and I moved to the Old Testament where I had just finished a book and I wasn't paying attention, put my marker in there and closed my Bible. And I went and I opened it up, and my next book was Jonah. And so I still hadn't made a decision to talk anything about Jonah, but I opened it up, and it's a short book, and it's a great story, and I said, I'm going to just read the whole book here this morning. And I read the whole book, and God was showing me, we all know that big event, Jonah and the big fish. What happened on the boat? That was a huge event. Think about that. See, Jonah, I'll try to squeeze it in really quick. Jonah, God speaks to Jonah, and we don't know how, for sure, of all the various ways. But he speaks to Jonah. He goes, go down to Nineveh and tell them I'm coming. They're going to be destroyed. I'm angry. And I'm paraphrasing, so please don't hold me to the scripture. And Jonah's like, nope, not me. No, this ain't for me. And maybe it was because it was in the middle of Assyria and the Assyrians were evil or whatever his reason was. He was lazy, but he's like, this ain't for me. I'm fleeing. And he gets on a ship to flee to Tarshish. And what happens? The winds pick up and the waves begin to move and turn. And in Jonah's mind, he's like, this is my God shutting the door. Because that's what God does in our events at times. If you're going the wrong way, he shuts the door. Jonah goes down to sleep. The other men, they're drawing lots to see who the lot falls on, who's responsible for this, who angered their God, and it falls on Jonah. And they go down there and they contact him. But first, they're praying to their gods, lowercase G-O-D-S, who are worthless, who can't answer prayers. So they go down and they talk to Jonah, and they say, who are you? Who are you? Who is your God, and what have you done? And Jonah says, I'm Jonah. I'm a Hebrew, and my God is the creator, uppercase G-O-D-S. My God made these seas and the land. My God's making this wind, and they're like, please tell him to stop. We're going to die. And he says, you want him to stop, you got to throw me overboard. Well, that was out of the question. So they begin to try to row towards shore, but it wasn't working. So what happens next in God's event? They pray to Jonah's God. Their gods are worthless. But they pray to Jonah's God that he would save them, that he would forgive them. They prayed before even throwing him overboard, he would forgive them. I don't recommend that you pray before your sin. But these guys didn't know the better, you know, best. And they pray that the Lord would forgive them. And then they throw him overboard. The big whale swallows him, the big fish. And then what do? It says they prayed to the Lord. Didn't say they prayed to their lowercase G-O-D-S. They prayed to the Creator, forgive us. And they sacrificed to him. And that part of the story ends with it saying, and they made vows to him. So inside that event is an event. These people came to know Jonah's God before the people in Nineveh. In that event. And then we see that whole thing happen in Nineveh. He comes down there and it takes him days walking through the city. And he tells everybody and warns them, God's coming and you're going to be destroyed. So the king tells everybody, nobody eat, the animals don't eat, everybody's in sackcloth. We're grieving, we have offended God, we're not going to do this no more. And God hears him, and he heals him. And I got to shorten this story up because I'm running out of time. But he heals him, and Jonah's angry, like, I knew this would happen. Kill me now, God. Kill me now. I knew this would happen. You're a God of grace and love and forgiveness, and you would forgive him. And Jonah storms outside of the village, and he builds a little hut to get out of the sun, and God causes a vine to grow over it, and he's relieved. He's in the shade. And then what happens next in this event? God speaks to a worm. Maybe he just pointed at him and controlled him, but he speaks to it. He manipulates a worm to chew that root. We sit here today and say, God will not speak to me, but God speaks to a worm. God uses a worm. And that worm chews that root. The vine dies. There's Jonah out in the sun again. Do you get the impression Jonah kind of gripes and complains a lot? There he is out in the sun. Kill me now. Kill me now. It's blistering hot. And he gripes about the vine, and that story ends. I don't want to leave you hanging. I just wanted to point out the other events within the events. These are God's events, and he uses these events to multitask in our lives. And so Jonah goes on to learn a lesson, you know, as he gripes. The Lord is like, what right? You never nurtured, planted, watered, harvested this vine, but yet you complain. You had nothing to do with the thousands and thousands and thousands of people in Nineveh. But I did. I created them. And I love them. I loved them before anything went wrong, and I wanted them back. And you have no say in that. But God does speak to us, many of us, in these events. And I would encourage you this week that you talk about other events, not just the ones in the book, that you talk about those and you share them. And more importantly, talk about when God moved and spoke to you an event in your life, when you're in these small groups. That is really important, because isn't it exciting when someone tells you what God has done in their life and they're telling a story and you see it coming together and you're like, yeah, tell me more. Calling them up at night, can you come tell me a story? But it also builds faith. It's faith building when we hear that God spoke to someone else. Rejoice in that. And then God speaks to us for many reasons. We got to realize that. He speaks to us to convey a message, to give us wisdom and insight, to provide direction, often mission specific of where God wants you, where he's going to use you, to get you back on track. Sometimes God speaks to us even, not just through events, but in the other ways, just to say, I'm God. I just wanted to give you a call and let you know I'm God. Hold that thought for a few minutes because I'm going to be communicating with you. But he is God. He speaks to us to grow us in maturity and strength of faith. James 1, 2 and 4 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. He speaks to us for any reason, all kinds of reasons, affirmations, confirmations, to grow us spiritually. You know, maybe somebody came to you, invited you to help serve somewhere, and you served, and you felt that abundant joy about, man, that was so much fun, helping people out and serving them. And that event right there was God speaking to you about servitude. So what should we do when God speaks to us through events? Took these straight out of the book, so they're real simple. I might have added a little to it, but ask God, are you speaking to me, God? Are you speaking to me? I'm listening. What is it, Lord, you want to teach me? Remember the girlfriend analogy? You love God. You want to hear from God. What are you teaching me, God? But then that calls for you to actively listen. In communication, you know, if you don't actively listen, you can't encode a message and send it back and make a reply. You have to get on your knees and you have to give God time to speak, and you have to listen. When and how he responds, do what he asks you to do. Thank him and praise him and continue to walk in faith, because God will call you one step at a time sometimes. Come to Helena. I have a place for you. Yeah, but God, what am I going to do there? Come to Helena. All right, I'm in Helena, God. It's early in the morning. I know all your stuff is in boxes and you're sleeping on an air mattress, but go to Mount Helena Community Church this morning. Really, God? Go. And then God begins to use you, and he begins to explain to you your calling. But you got to walk in faith. You have to take those steps when you feel and hear God speaking to you. As you go through a significant event, reflect on his goodness and his faithfulness. Trust in him. Keep listening and be ready. Just like I said, be ready to move. Be ready. Be ready to hear God. And when you're struggling with hearing God, that's why we have the other methods. There's many a trusted friend in this room or in your life that you can go to and go, this is what I feel God is saying. And as Tyler and Jason spoke earlier this session, you know, those people are going to lead you back to Scripture, and they're going to pray with you. And they're going to help you hear from God. You know, I had the experience, I'll just say this and then I'll conclude. I had the experience, these methods of hearing God, I had the experience of watching my wife go through those. I was with her when she realized one day, the Holy Spirit is speaking to me. Excuse me. And it was amazing. And I remember when she said, God is talking to me through my insides. Recently, she was reading in Ezekiel, and this might go in a different order for you as God speaks to you. She says, as I read Ezekiel, I could hear God's voice speaking about my life, and he was speaking to my heart. And it's just been such a tremendous blessing when you watch that growth. God speaks to us through nature even. But through events, through his word, through the Spirit. Now I can't see. So I want to conclude here. What God is asking is that we're ready to listen, that our heart is open. I want to encourage you, though, you're not going to hear him with a closed heart, and you're not going to hear God if you're not preparing yourself to listen. You're not in the word of God. You got to be in the word of God. You got to seek God. You got to seek the comfort of his Holy Spirit. You got to seek trusted voices. Like the girlfriend analogy, you want to hear from God. You love God. When you do hear his voice, be obedient. That word right there, some people's chest started to get tight. And they begin to sweat just a minute ago. There's that word. God orders us around. I want you, when you see words like submission in the Bible and you struggle with them, I want you to take the word and do a word study. No more shut the page. No more going, well, that's not what God meant. I want you to do a word study. Even if you have to look it up in Greek and Hebrew, I want you to do a word study, and you'll be impressed at God's plan, what he meant by that word. And the word obedience, I want you to remember this. The word obedience isn't God ordering around. The word obedience, think of it as this. Let me define it for you. The word obedience is the completion of your faith. That's what obedience is. Ooh, God, you're speaking to me. I'm going to step towards you in faith. Use me, God. I'm going to step again, God. Use me, God. I'm going to keep stepping into God, and I'm going to complete my faith. I'm going to glorify God. It's not telling me, Bob, sit down and shut up. If he did, I'd be down there sitting down, but that's not what God is telling us. Your obedience to God is the completion of your faith. You should rejoice in that. Be excited. Man, be excited God has called us as his own, right? He wants to hear from each and every one of us. God loves to hear from us. God loves when we fellowship. God loves when we come here together and we lean on each other. You know, sometimes we say that my church is in the mountains. And that's a beautiful thing. I love praising God when I'm in the mountains, but that is not your church. God has called us to fellowship. Be glad that he called you, and he wants to hear from all of us. But even more importantly, God wants to speak to us individually. And I'll leave you with this, real simple. Be a good listener. Would you bow your heads and pray with me, please? Gracious Lord, I just give you praise and glory, Lord. I just thank you. Thank you for your blessings, Lord. I thank you that you want to hear your people. I thank you that you want to speak to your people, Lord, that you love us enough that you want to guide us. You want to minister to us. You want to make sure that we're safe in your arms, Lord, and that we have found our way home. I thank you for that, Lord, and I just pray that your word resonates with us all, Father, and that we would all seek you. We would all say that we love you and we're going to seek you. We want to hear what you have to tell us. So praise and glory to you, Lord. I pray this in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Would you give Bob a hand this morning? Well done, brother. Appreciate it, Bob. Love Bob's heart for you guys. That's the end of our service this morning. I want to encourage you, if you would like to receive prayer for anything at all, our prayer team is up over here on my left. They'd love to pray with you about anything you're concerned about or anything you need or would desire prayer about. I would encourage you to take advantage of that. Also, remember that our baptism sign-up is out there on the Welcome Center. So you can, if you were thinking about that, you can check that out. On your way out, have a great rest of your day, church. We'll see you back here on Friday at 6 p.m. See you then.